You know, my sermon starts by asking Becca and Alex a question, but Becca's already out with that baby, right? And that's my question. Becca and Alex, do you know what you've done? Have you asked yourself that yet? Because, you know, sooner or later, when they're babies, when they're teens, sooner or later, every parent asks that question, what have I done? What have I got myself into now? Yes, the labor's over and the work is just beginning, right? Yeah. But even before this, even before Isabel was born, you were making promises in your head and working to keep them. Maybe it started when Becca got pregnant and you decided to eat healthier. Maybe you thought we should start saving money. Aware of it or not, you are already making promises you don't even know the cost of yet. You don't even know what they're going to cost you. But they'll cost you. They'll cost you sleep. They'll cost you money. They may cost you a broken heart. And it doesn't matter, because you love Isabel, and you always will. You will love her even when she deserves it least, but needs it most. And that's a big promise. Do you know what you have done in having this wonderful little beautiful baby? You should not do this alone, right? You should not do this alone. So it's a good thing you came today and had her baptized. Because in baptism, God makes even bigger promises. Big promises. A new birth in living hope. Delivered from sin and death, united with all the baptized, anointed with the Holy Spirit, and joined in God's mission for the life of the world. Big. Or as Dan Erlander says in his simple book for children, A Place for You, you are a precious child of God and a part of my family forever. God promises to love us when we deserve it least, because that's when we need it most. And you, parents and sponsors, you made promises too. Were you listening? Yeah, you were. You promised to bring Isabel to worship, to teach her scripture, to nurture her faith, to work for justice and peace. And that's hard work. It is hard work to keep God in our daily life. It is hard work to keep baby Jesus, Jesus the Christ, alive here today. And you, all of you, you faithful people, you stood up and you made promises too. You promised to support and pray for Isabel in her new life. And then in the name of God, you welcomed her. And she looks sweet now, and she's cute now, but she will cry, and she will spill juice on the carpet, and she will run like a crazy woman up and down the wheelchair ramp, and then she'll be a teenager. Do you know what you have done? Big promises. It's a good thing you do not make them alone. Mary speaks words of promise too. Beautiful, poetic words. And we know that song as a Magnificat. We already heard it in today's psalm. The Gospel of Luke is full of stories and songs and poetry. And Luke tells stories no one else tells. Zacchaeus, the prodigal son, the road to Emmaus, the 10 lepers, only Luke gives us those stories. And this one too, the story of Mary and her visit to Elizabeth. Luke writes better than I can, so I hope you'll find some time to read the first two chapters of Luke and hear the story and hear the songs that have become lyrics of our liturgy and kind of the soundtrack of our life, as well as Mary's. But Mary does not start out singing. No, not at all. And like the reality of life with babies, Mary starts out a little more prosaic in what she says. So let's go back. Mary gets an instant messenger from God, kind of like Alexa, but we'll call it an angel. They didn't have Alexa. And the messenger says, "Hey there, lucky girl, God is with you." And Mary goes, "Say what?" Mary's perplexed. This is odd. "Say what?" And the messenger explains a little more, and then Mary says, "No way. There is no way." And the angel says, "Yes way, Mary, yes way. This is a special baby, a holy baby, a son of God. And even Elizabeth is pregnant, and you know how old she is. God can do anything, Mary." And then does Mary sing those beautiful words? Promise and triumph and rejoicing? No, not yet. Because the news, this is a big thing, and it's perplexing, and it's confusing, and it's hard to get your head around that. And nowhere does it say, "Mary understands." Mary understands. Because we have to live life forward, but we can actually understand it better in reverse. But Mary does say this. Mary says yes. Mary says yes. "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Yes, here I am. God's will be done." Oh, Mary, do you know what you have done? Then Mary runs. She runs. She runs to find a friend. She runs to an older woman who's also unexpectedly pregnant. She desperately needs a friend. And she runs to the little town in Judea where Elizabeth is. And this slide, this slide is from the church in Taizé, France, a window there. And it's in the Advent devotion written today by Anya, who also writes better than I do. So you're going to want to read that too. And you can see that Mary and Elizabeth are reaching out to each other. I don't know if you can see, but the babies are showing in the womb. It's hard to see that. Go in the book. But you can see that Mary and Elizabeth are reaching out. Why do they do that? Mary and Elizabeth reach out for the same reason we do. We need each other. We need a friend. And pregnant women, they especially do this. Maybe you've seen pregnant women. They flock together, right? They gather in little circles, sometimes with other mothers, and they tell stories. This little circle of saints with swelling bellies. They're looking for wisdom. They're looking for tips. How do you handle morning sickness? That's what they're looking for. They're looking for someone to lessen the fear and share the joy. They're looking for someone to lessen the fear and share the joy. We need each other. We cannot do this alone. We need help. Like Alex and Becca and the family that gathered here around the font, like you. You faithful congregation that comes together, that needs help. Or maybe it's like that one. Remember that? Maybe you'll teach her that, Isabel. You, the body of Christ, you offer yourselves, your hands, your bodies, your voices, so that God may be known here on earth. We all need someone who can listen to us and say, "Yes, I see God in you. Yes, God loves you and is working in your life. Even if you can't yet see it, even if you don't understand it and certainly don't deserve it, God loves you and is working in your life for good and for justice and for peace. Because you said yes. There will be a cost. Nowhere does it say this will be easy. This faith, this birth, this new hope. But you who believe that God keeps God's promises, you who say, yes, here I am, you will be blessed. You will be blessed. And we all need, as Elizabeth says to Mary, God blesses you. You can do it. You go, girl. You got this. And now Mary can sing. Now together, Mary can sing. And so can we. Amen.